Father, we are so thankful for the Word of God. So grateful that the Lord Jesus came to live that perfect life so that if we would put our faith and trust in Him, our sins would be forgiven. That in fact our lives could make a difference. And I know for many of us, God, in this room, sometimes it seems like the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the years just go by. But Lord, we just don't want time to go by. We want time to be fruitful. We want time to make a difference. We want to make an impact, not only in our families, in our church, but in our communities, and hopefully, God, in the world. We want to spread the gospel. We thank you for letters and books like Peter's that encourage us to share the word, that encourage us to live by the word and to walk according to the word. Father, bless this time. Teach us. Speak to us. There are so many needs in this room. And Lord, you know each and every one. We pray by your Spirit. Meet them. Provide for them. Bless them. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Describing God's word, the psalmist says this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Very popular scripture. The word itself, speaking of itself, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God's word directs your steps as you walk in this life. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you have held the scriptures dear to your heart, my prayer is that when we walk, when we live our lives, that the word is being lived out in obedience. Struck me as the scouts were sharing the thing, that a scout is obedient. That struck me, obedient. Christians should be able to stand up and say, a Christian is obedient. A Christian is good. A Christian is trustworthy. It's heartbreaking for me and for certainly the Lord and for all believers to see Christians that live contrary to the word, that don't live up to the truth that has been given to them. It's like, don't claim yourself a Christian if you don't want to live by it. And I'm not saying we need to be perfect, we're not going to make mistakes, but I'm saying don't purposely do these things. Don't purposely live your lifestyle in such a way that dishonors God. My prayer for all of us is that we want nothing more than to please the Lord. Don't please people. Don't please your spouse. Don't please your parents. Don't please your children. Don't please your boss. Please the Lord. Because I believe when you please the Lord, you will please those others. Very naturally, very simply. God's word directs your steps. God's word also illuminates the path that you're on. Do you know where you're going? Do you know where your destination is? Oh, wait. Hope everyone knows our final destination is heaven. But do you have a destination that you are going to, that you are striving for, that you are walking towards? A purpose for your life. A purpose. Making a difference. Making an impact. The psalmist also says later in the same chapter, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. And that scripture basically says, your word, the entrance, the teaching of your word enlightens us to the truth, displays to us what it is God's heart is for our lives. Do you know what God's will is for your life? What is that will? That perfect will of God for you, tailored just for you, designed just for your life. And I know what's going on in a lot of minds right in this room right now is, well, man, not much for me. God doesn't have a lot. Listen, I'm standing before you, one that just put his hope, his trust, his cares, his love in the Lord, and God did amazing things. I stand before you as a pastor by the will of God, not by the will of Rob. By the will of God. Trust me, I fought him on it. It's like, you've got a better guy for the job. And you know, if you think you're nothing, I think you're everything for God. If you think you're nothing, then you are everything for God, because God will get all the glory. You'll stand back and go, I can't believe I've done this. I can't believe I've lived my life in this way. I would imagine most missionaries would say that God did it all. God provided in every way. And I love Spirit-filled Christians that will say, God did it. God was a man of his word, and he fulfilled his purposes through me. And he got the glory. Peter, in chapter 2, continues this theme that we really didn't talk about last time, but this theme of the power and the work of God's word, and the importance of the word of God, that we read it, that we live by it, that we obey it. That's why we read it. That's why we come on Sundays, to go systematically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so that we'll know the scriptures, not in our heads, but in our hearts, and the importance of the word of God. This morning's message is going to display to us and reveal to each and every one of us three things about the work of God's word. The work of the word. It has work to do, and there's work that it does. And if you look in verse 1 of chapter 2, Peter, again, continuing, he says, therefore, continuing on from what he said in verse 25, the last part of that verse says, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. This was the word that was preached to you, Christians, that Peter's writing to, Christians that are sitting in this room. This is the word that we're talking about. The word of the Lord endures forever in verse 25 of chapter 1. But in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, therefore, because of that, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Pause right there, first point. The work of the word in your life, in my life, in believers' lives. Number one, the word purifies my walk. The word purifies my walk. In these three sections of the first half of chapter 2, we're going to see very sharp contrasts in each of these sections. Here we see Peter starting out, therefore, because the word was preached to you, because the word was spoken to you, and the word is the spoken words of Christ, the Old Testament, and the things that Jesus did in the Gospels, that's the word that was spoken to you. Therefore, because of the word, he says, lay aside a few things. Put off, as a Christian, these things of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And might I suggest to you, we've seen this before, and I suggested it then, and I will suggest it now. Lay these things aside, not nearby where you can pick them up again. Lay them aside, never to be picked up again, never to be touched again. We don't have to go into it. I shouldn't have to describe what malice is, what deceit is, hypocrisy. We should know what these things are. They're the flesh. They're the things of your flesh. They're the things of the world. They're the things of the enemy. Division that is created in the lives of believers, to me, is the heyday of the enemy. He wants you and your wife, as a Christian couple, to be at odds with each other. He wants you to be at odds with your children, with your believing boss, with your believing friends, creating rub, creating difficulties. And that's what Peter said. Because the words preach you, lay these things aside. Get them out of your life. No malice, no deceit, no hypocrisy, no envy, and no evil speaking. Be careful. The words don't have to come out of your mouth for you to speak evil. Do you understand what I'm saying? To just think it. To just think it in your mind, to just think it in your heart, to think evil of another believer. I constantly have to remind myself that the believers that I come in contact with are absolutely loved unconditionally by the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a lot easier for me to be nice to people when I know that God loves them and died for them. It changes my perspective. For those people that I talked about a few weeks ago, that there's people I don't like, but I'm called to love. The people I don't like, God loves. Therefore, I must love them. I must not think evil of them. I must not pray evil for them. I must pray blessings for them. So again, spending a lot of time, but get these things out of your life. No deceit. Don't plan anything evil against someone else. Don't do that. And don't think in your mind, yeah, but you don't know what they've done to me. No. We read it last week. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Be the bigger person. Be the one to set the standard. Again, not to please people, but to please God. To please the Lord. So all those things aside, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the word. Do you realize as Christians, we're never to get out of this idea of desiring the milk of the word, the simplistic teachings of the scriptures. Do you ever tired of those things? God forbid that we ever get to a place in a church service or a Bible saying, I've heard this, I don't need to hear this again. Every time I hear it, I know this and it's good, and I need to hear it again. I need to desire the word, the desire the pure milk of the word. Oh, the word is so strong and so powerful. We are the family of God, and we're to desire the word. And my prayer is that's why you're here, because you know the word is taught. I was sharing with someone this morning. I got an email last night about a company that wants to provide a service for our church. So I was perusing their website, and I happened to take a look at one of these other church services that they were providing this particular service. And I don't want to name too many things about it, but it's like the pastor got up there, he read some scripture, and the next thing he started talking about was how much money the church was committed to raising that year. And for the next 10 minutes, because I couldn't bear it any longer, he just talked about the budget and how much everybody's supposed to give and their pledges. I'm just sitting there listening to it. And again, I know I come from a Calvary slant where we don't talk about money. We don't talk about it. It's an important thing, trust me. It helps pay the rent, number one. But number two, it's not something I'm going to bring to you. I want to teach you the word. I let God convict your hearts about the things that you're supposed to do financially, being good stewards of the finances that you have. My prayer is that all are good stewards of the resources that they have. But to desire the word, not what is our church? Do I need to do a 45-minute presentation of all the resources that this church has raised and all the things that we're doing? It's maybe informative, but is it equipping you? I mean, maybe you've had coffee on Wednesday. You can sit down and say, hey, our church is doing this and doing that and doing this. But I didn't hear the word of God. I wasn't taught the scriptures. Desire the milk of the word. Hebrews 12:1 says this, one of my favorite verses. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Saying basically the same thing that Peter is saying here. Listen. We're surrounded by witnesses, those who went before us, who lived faithful lives. So let's make sure we lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let's not be blind to the fact that there's sin in the camp. Let's not be blind to the fact that we all succumb to sin. We all have to deal with sin. And just, again, the same thing. Lay it aside. Put it aside, Christian. Deal with it. Don't let it fester. Don't let a little sin be in your life, because it will become a bigger sin if you allow it. Lay it aside. Put off these harmful things. Put on the things that are needed, which is the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. To desire it. This isn't something that you long for in a sense. It's to long for something with all of your being, every ounce of your being, to long for the Word. To long to hear the Scriptures. Every morning, do you wake up and pick up your devotion and read it and say, I'm longing to hear the word of God? Or is the attitude is, I got to do my devotion. I'm so tired. There should be a longing. drawing. There should be a stirring in our hearts. Listen, the degree to which these negative attributes in your life are moved out will be the same degree for your hunger for the things of God. These things of the flesh cloud your desire for the Lord. Do you understand that? They trip you up. The things that are festering in our flesh will keep us from the Word. Nobody wants to read the Word when they're in the midst of sin, do they? When you're fighting with someone, do you want to stop and pray? Let's be honest. We should stop and pray, but do we want to? When my wife and I argue, and we don't do it that much, very rarely do either of us say, let's just pray. I've come home and shared my day with my wife, and she'll ask me, well, did you pray about it? And I'll be like, well, of course I didn't pray about it, or I wouldn't be complaining about it. Right? If I had prayed about it, it would have been a done deal. The power of prayer, my friends. The power of prayer, overcoming the things of flesh. But you don't want to pray when you've got deceit in your heart. You don't want to pray when you're living hypocritical, when you're wearing the cross around your neck, and when you're carrying your Bible, and then when you're cussing somebody out. I mean, that's hypocritical. It's not right. It's not honoring the Lord. The Word purifies your walk because it's the Word that helps you and guides you and leads you in the things that you're supposed to do. I use this scripture all the time because as a husband, this is one I have to have in the forefront of my mind. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's what the Word of God tells me to do. Whether I want to or not, I'm to do it. Whether you want to or not, sometimes the scripture says, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. If I'm going out to dinner tonight, this is the idea of laying aside all this filth and desiring the Word, the thing that is needed. But if I'm planning on going out to dinner with my wife this evening, and we're going to go to a real nice restaurant, name it, whatever restaurant you like, just that's in your mind. We're going to go to that restaurant, my wife and I. 2 hours before we go to dinner, I decide to pull into McDonald's. I order 2 Big Macs, large fry, large drink. And I love Big Macs. I don't care how good that dinner is tonight. I'm going to look at it and go, I'm not really hungry for it. I really don't want to eat that. Why? Because I'm full. And that's what Peter's saying. If you don't lay aside all these things that are of the flesh, you're not going to desire the Word. You're going to be full of the things of the flesh. And the Word is going to just, But if we move these things out, if we get this hypocrisy and this deceit and envy and all evil speaking, if we stop doing those things, then we're going to embrace the Word. We're going to receive the Word gratefully. The Word will purify our walk. When you stop reading and studying the Word, it is because you are eating the junk food of this world. And I don't know what it is that you're into. I don't know what it is that you do with your time. But you need to look at your day and say, what am I consuming? What information am I allowing to come into me? And then compare that. How much of the Word am I allowing to come in? How much prayer am I doing? How much fellowship am I spending? How many Bible studies am I participating in? And figure out the balance. You know, people think, because I'm a pastor, that, you know, I expect everybody to be at every spiritual activity. If you need it, then that's where you need to be. But the important thing is that the balance is tipped in the way of the Word, more of the Word in your life. Less of the things of the flesh. It's amazing to me how many hours I can spend wasting my time. Can anybody identify with that? I mean, I was driving in today, this morning, just thinking about the message and stopping off the bagel place to get bagels. And I'm just thinking, why did I spend so much time yesterday on that website? Now, it wasn't a bad way. It was Starbucks' website. can't believe you would think I would go to one of those websites. Starbucks. But it struck me how much time I spent on Starbucks' website. How many stars do I have? And see, you all know what I'm talking about. How many free drinks do I have coming yet? When's my birthday coming? I get a free drink on my birthday. And I was just, I'm thinking, it's so easy to get consumed with stupid stuff. Right? And I'm thinking, why didn't I spend more time studying? Why didn't I spend more time praying? Again, it's this thing that comes into our hearts. There's things that the enemy can put into our lives that they're not evil. They're just distracting. And then we wonder, well, why am I not a strong Christian? Why is my walk not straight? Why do I stumble here and trip here? Because you need the Word. You need the Scriptures. I would hope every single person in this room has a favorite Scripture or a list of them. Has Scripture that you go to in your time of need. If you've ever gotten a letter from me or a card from me, my signature always Hebrews 12. Anybody know? Two. Somebody knew. Hebrews 12, 2. Fixing your eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That is my verse for life. That when I'm looking at Starbucks' website, I'm not fixing my eyes on Christ. And I'm rewriting, fix my eyes. When I'm looking at Jesus, I have a hard time sinning. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you have those verses that you go to? The Word purifies my walk. I've probably shared this before, but I apologize. I had a friend years ago, Christian friend. He goes, when I struggle with the eyes, when he said, when I struggle with lust towards another woman, he says, I think it's Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was like, that's good. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything but God, anything but pure things. And it was that scripture. He was, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Nothing wrong with wanting good things, but shall not want. Do you have the Word somewhere hidden in your heart that you go to in your time of need? That's what purifies your walk. Look at verse 3. Okay? Pure milk, desiring it that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Haven't we all tasted that the Lord is gracious? Haven't we all experienced the grace of God as we drag our truckload of sin to the Lord and say, God, forgive me, and God's grace is there? The things that we've done in our past that for some reason we remember, but God says, I don't remember what you did because it was forgiven. That's grace. Tasted that the Lord is gracious. Why don't we continue in the Word of God when we've tasted that He's been gracious? We know that. Purify. The Word purifies. Number two, I'm going to give you the point and then we'll read it. The Word, and you're going to, this one's interesting, and the Word supports my ministry. The Word supports my ministry. Think about that a minute and look at we at verse 4. It's a big section, verse 4 through 10. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also commanded, or contained in the Scripture, the Word, the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to what? To the Word, to which they also were appointed. But you, Christian, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to remind you something, and this is something I do constantly. This is Peter we're talking about. Did you just see what we just read? From Peter. Do you believe there's a Holy Spirit now? This came from Peter. The riches here that have spoken to us through Peter. Now, when I talk about the second point, the word supports my ministry. I don't want you to think I'm talking about the church or even talking about myself. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, as the chief cornerstone, supports each and every one of our calls as Christians. We are a spiritual house, the body of Christ. You got to get this picture in your mind. Each and every one of us is a brick next to each other, stacked upon each other, that creates this building, right? He calls it, what does he call it here? Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen as precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Do you realize how much we need each other? The body of Christ working together, support the Word of God supporting our ministry, our call, your call upon your life. Stay-at-home mom, that is your call. And you do need to be encouraged, and you need to be supported in that ministry, and you need to be equipped to raise those children in the right way. You, business person, have been called to lead your business and to have a successful business that I pray gives glory to the Lord. And it's the Word of God that is supporting that ministry. Another way you could say this, it supports my church family, the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. If you're in the building industry, you know what a cornerstone is, right? It's that first stone that they lay upon the foundation, and every other stone, every other brick is lined up to it and is supported by it. It's called the chief cornerstone, the stone of the corner, or the foundation stone. I don't know about you, I get excited about the fact that Jesus Christ is the stone, the rock that I stand on, a sure foundation. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus Christ supports my ministry, supports my life, supports my call. Everything depends upon him. I can be sure I will not fall. I can be sure that I will not stumble as long as I am standing upon the rock. Guys, we need each other if we're going to be an effective building, if we're going to be an effective spiritual house, holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices. Aren't you glad you don't have to bring a lamb in every Sunday? Aren't you glad we don't have goats in here that we have to slaughter for our sins to be forgiven? But guys, listen, in the spiritual realm, we're, what does he call us? Holy priesthood. Priests. We are, as Christians, we're called as being priests, those that would offer those sacrifices. As Christians, we're offering spiritual sacrifices. What do these look like? Spiritual sacrifices, write this down. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. I want you to read it for yourself. Listen to this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, listen, the fruit of our lips, things that come out of our mouths, giving thanks to him, speaking thanks to God, which I believe is our call for this year as a church. And verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Spiritual sacrifices, what's Peter talking about? He's talking that our words line up, that our actions are righteous, that we help and do good and share with others. You know how you overcome selfishness? Give it away. Give it away. Whatever it is that you're holding on to more than God, give it away. So that you know, give it to someone who would use it and would use it rightly. That's how you overcome selfishness. Sacrifices of praises, thanking the Lord, talking about God. I haven't finished it yet, but I think this weekly challenge is going to be about speaking the truth into other people's lives of the goodness of God has been in your life. Telling people every day how good God has been to you. That will get you in this mode of speaking, again, fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The list can go, should go on and on and on of the things that you are thankful to God for. Thankful that he is the chief cornerstone, the foundation stone that we are all built upon. Think about a wall. I don't know if you could think. Construction stuff's easy in my mind. I can picture it. But think of a wall of brick. And then think about trying to take some of those brick out of the wall. How stable is that wall going to be? And that's what we are as the body of Christ. We are the wall. We are the wall that's being built up. We're each stones in our place, doing our thing. And when we're effective, the wall is strong. But when some of those stones and some of those boulders and some of those rocks get pulled out, the wall is weak. Therefore, the body becomes weak. Can I encourage you this morning? Make your call and election sure. Know what God has saved you for. Know why God saved you. Certainly to save you from sin and certainly for you to go to heaven and all that. But saved you also for a purpose in the body of Christ. And I speak this to the younger generation more than anybody else in this room. Guys, just don't go through life complaining that your church's too small. That's a personal note to someone here. Don't complain. Your life is good, and you have a reason and a purpose. When I got saved at 26, one of the first things I said to the Lord is, I'm sorry I wasted 26 years. I was heartbroken once I got saved to know that I wasted 26 years apart from God. Not that he can't use it. I don't want you to think. God can and has used it. But that was my heart when I got saved. It's like, for 26 years, I made fun of born-again Christians. For 26, well, maybe not when I was a baby, hopefully not. But for a lot of years, I thought that whole Christian thing was a joke. And many of us had bad experiences as young people in the religious area. Won't go into that. You can ask me later. It's a sad story. Verse 4 says, come to him. Coming to him. He as a living stone. Our God is alive. That's what Peter's trying to get us to realize. Hey, stone, rock, hard, strong, but it's a living stone. And we can come to Christ. And if you're in here and you're going, I don't know what my call is. I don't know what my purpose is. Come to him. He will tell you. He's not a secret. He's not saying figure it out. He's saying, I will tell you. Just ask. But you better be ready for the answer. You better be ready for the answer. Because it's not multiple choice. Can I try another option, God, please? No. That's just the reason I saved you. I was watching has anybody seen the Billy Graham show, The Cross, called The Cross? Anybody seen that? It's online. You can go to their website and you can watch it. I watched it for about 15 minutes and I was just overtaken by the faithfulness of this man for so many years. Don't we want that? Don't we want, whether we live 10, 20, 30, 80, 100 years, don't we want our life to have made a difference? Don't we want our life to make sure that our walk was pure? The thing I can say about Billy Graham from my perspective, again, knowing him from a distance, the man walked a pure life. The man walked a holy life. He would not get on an elevator with a single woman unless it was his wife, maybe his daughters. But I mean, that was this. He walked a pure life. Why? He didn't want anything to cause him to stumble. And my prayer is, if we look back on our life, and we maybe go, "Gosh, it's not that great," that God, you give us the grace, enough grace to make a testimony that's worthwhile, to support my ministry, support my life. God, do something with me. If we could see in the spiritual realm, I would love to see some of the dreams that are in this room. that God can't wait to answer. And the doubts that are in this room that God wants to eradicate. Take away the doubts. Christian, make a mistake or two. It's okay. God is good at that. God is bigger than a mistake you can make. We don't sometimes step out because we're afraid of failure. I don't know about you, but sometimes you got to fail a few times before you're going to succeed. I've always said, my failures have made me more of a man of God than my successes. I'd rather look at my failures and go, man, I messed that up. My successes, I can say, well, God did that one right. Not me. Mm. Living stones. The contrast, again, he gives, listen, to in verse 7, therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. But to those who are disobedient, he causes them to stumble. Right? The Jews, a stumbling block. Oh, to us, precious, who believe in him. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you kidding? It's already 10:45? That scout ceremony went way too long, didn't they? First Corinthians chapter 1. Jump down to verse 18. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God, though, through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I love the fact that when I'm weak, I can trust in God to be strong for me. I love that when I have a great idea, I have to give God the credit. It's not me that came up with it. God gave it to me. And God uses the foolishness of this world to profound the wise. He uses us, humble people, full of holes, to bring forth his message, to preach the gospel. I think it's a great testimony. I think God is amazing at figuring that out. I'm going to use imperfect people to show a perfect message. Therefore, I'm going to get the credit. It's perfect. You're being saved. You're in the process of saving your heart, saving your mind, saving your future, saving your purpose. This process of salvation, saved when we gave our lives to Christ, but constantly being saved by God. Wouldn't you agree, day by day? Being saved every single day. Let's go to 1 Peter and get to our last point. The word purifies my walk. The word supports my ministry. Look at verse 11. Peter again, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, here we go again, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Here we see the word convicts my enemies. The word convicts my enemies. Don't look at the world as, I mean, some people, I don't look at it this way, but some people look at the world and think, why are they so blessed? Why are they so lucky? Man, I tell them, man, have fun, because this is all you got. Hey, You want to don't believe in Jesus? You don't want to believe in God? You don't want to walk in the Lord? Fine. Enjoy what you have now, because it's all going to be taken away from you. Our lives, Peter says, I beg you, abstain from the things of the flesh. That stuff in the flesh that rears its ugly face when our buttons get pushed. He's saying, come on, I beg you, don't do this. You're sojourners, you're pilgrims. This is our temporary home. Remember that. We can pray for peace, but I don't think it's going to get any better here. I think it's just going to keep getting worse until the Lord comes back. Therefore, we need to be strong. We need to be confident in Him. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against us. This is a war, guys. This is a battle. We need to realize that this Christian walk isn't just, you know, roses and everything wonderful. It's a battle. It's a difficult thing. We have this battle between the spirit and the flesh. Peter has this deep conviction in his heart. He says, I beg you, please stop doing this. I believe there's a great need in the church today for this very same message. Please stop. Please don't. Don't continue to live in the flesh. Please don't continue to live satisfying your flesh. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the heart of Paul. Same thing. I beseech you, I beg you. Paul's saying the same thing. Present yourself holy before God. The great thing is that we get to be a living testimony towards others. It doesn't matter what people say about us. It doesn't matter what the world says to us or about us. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered what people say about you? Do people actually think this? I've had people ask me that. What do you think people say about you? I said, probably awful things. But I try not to think about it, but thanks for bringing it up. Can you imagine living your life thinking what everybody says bad about you? Let's just trust the fact that people are going to say bad things about us. Because the Lord says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, 12, that when they speak against, not if, it says, but so when they speak against you, people are speaking against you. Praise God. That's what Peter's saying. That they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. How many of us made fun of Christians until that day we finally got saved? And then we said, Lord, we're so sorry. Lord, we're so sorry. One day, all those who speak evil against us are going to stand before God and go, I was wrong. So Christians, live a good, honorable life before the Lord. Purify your walk. Let your ministry be supported by the word of God. Live a life that does convict your enemies, letting God take care of it, not you. Don't fight those battles. That battle belongs to the Lord, and He does a much better job. Right? Heaping coals on other people's heads. Yeah, Lord. No, that's not what that means. But He takes care of it. I have found in my life, the more I try to fight my own battles, the more of a mess it becomes. And when I keep my hands off, God works it all out. He always does. In the beginning of our ministry, those first 2 years of ministry, I will say, were probably the two hardest years of my life. And my wife would just say, well, call so-and-so and tell him to do something about it. It's like, no, God's going to fight this battle. God's going to fight this battle. And I'm so glad I did that. I was so glad and honored that I said, Lord, you fight it. I don't want to have to battle it. It was hard enough. And maybe you're going through a difficult thing right now. But do me a favor. Be encouraged in this, that Peter would say, in begging you, abstain from those fleshly, abstain from the evil thoughts like we talked about earlier. Abstain from those things that you know don't please God. Honor God. Live honorably. And one day God will take care of it. It'll all come together. Romans 8:13 says, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And I submit, more abundantly. You'll live more abundantly when you don't live according to the things of the flesh. If you are going to be honest with yourself this morning, the things that you know are living according to the flesh would make you sick to your stomach. They should make you sick to your stomach. You know that. You know that. So give those things over to God. Live in a way that honors the Lord. Let's go to our last stop, Matthew chapter 5. Let's end with the words of the Lord. I just remembered my wife's in the children's ministry. She's going to kill me for going late. Let's just go another 20 minutes, that's all. You can tell her, that's fine. Matthew 5, look at verse 13. I wanted to end with this. You, this is Jesus talking to believers, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We're to be salt. We're to be effective. We're to be making an impact in our world. And if we aren't making an impact, then it's worthless. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Peter is quoting the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, written for us in the written word in 1 Peter, to live our lives in such a way that the world says men. Doesn't mean believers, doesn't mean non-believers, it means all. Live your life in such a way that your light shines before, so that they will glorify God. What an amazing thing I hope it will be when we get to heaven and God goes, look at all the glory you brought me. Look at the life that you lived and all the glory that followed. Guys, I want your life, I want my life to make a difference in this world. And if we keep letting time go by, we're not going to have much time left. So let's get busy. Let's purify our walk. Let's support our ministry. Let's convict our enemies by living lives that honor God and not trying to please man at all. Let's please the Lord and give him glory. Live this week shining his light through you. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We're so grateful, God, that there are scriptures in the Bible that teach us how to live, how to respond, how to react. We thank you, God, that it is your word that cleanses us, that washes us, that guides us. We thank you, Lord, that we are a body of Christ, the body of Christ, that we are together, working together, living together, building that strong wall. And finally, we want our lives to be holy, God, living honorably, so that others would see. So help us to live our lives out loud. Let us not try to hide the light that is in us, but let us let it shine brightly for all to see. I pray for those in this room whose light has gone dim, God. I pray first and foremost that you would fan that flame within them, that you would brighten their light. But I also pray that they would get around other believers, be prayed for, to be ministered to be encouraged, to fight this battle together. No one in this room, no one on this earth has to do life alone. For you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. So God, we pray that your word continues to do a work in this church, in these people, in this world. For you hold your word above even your own name. You esteem your word higher than your own name. And we know your word will endure forever. So help us hide it in our hearts, Lord. Help us live it out loud. We love you, God. Bless our day. Bless our lives. We look forward to your return. Come, Lord, quickly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.